All right. Well, I'm excited to introduce our speaker this morning. Many of us have heard Jeff, and looking around the room, a few of us, this will be our first chance to hear from Jeff. So that's really exciting. I had to check with him to make sure he was still ready to go. You know, because in opening, you know, you notice the kids kind of teamed up on him and left Justin and Roger alone. And then, you know, as he was making his way back to his seat, he's like, oh boy, you know, I can't preach now. You know, he was, you know, but then we watched the slideshow and he told us of all the things that he's been able to persevere through. So I was like, oh, he's probably ready to go. So, but, appreciate you, brother. You know, just think about as we move about in faith, and sometimes it can feel like the darkness is thick and surrounding us, and it is very encouraging for us here to get an opportunity to hear from other Christians around the world, specifically preachers, the work that's going on, that souls are being saved, that the light is being spread. That is super encouraging to me, so I'm really thankful for that. But the other thing that I really appreciate about this guy is this guy stands on the truth. And I got to tell you, there is and always has been tremendous pressure on us, brethren, to cave. And Satan's got his different methods that he likes to use. And the church has to continue to be the pillar and support of the truth. So I really appreciate guys like Jeff Hostetter who make a stand no matter what. Even if the airports are empty, if it's Africa, if it's India, if it's Europe, if it's America or camp. Just really appreciate that. Let's bring him up with a hand and bring it this morning, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Sometimes I wonder if I'll be as welcome at the end of my message as at the beginning. You know, I mean, I could pick a fight, good fight sometimes, and be honest with you. But I do appreciate this church for the stand that this church has taken for the truth. I'm also thankful that our granddaughter, Hannah Hostetter, the oldest child of Jeremiah and Brittany, all the way from Marseille, France, could be here, and that she was given permission by her dad and her mom to stay on an extra week or so, about 10 days, just to be at the camp. So give her a hand. She's sitting there right there. She's by Grandma. She's a fine 14-year-old, and I tell you, we've had her now for a couple of weeks, and it's been a delight every step of the way. And now they torment me too, though. Her and Anastasia's here, our oldest granddaughter from Benoit and Rebecca, all the way from India, and they'll be heading back the same day we do to Ghana, 28th, heading back to India. They're having a strict lockdown right now on the Lord's days again. Most of the cases recorded of COVID are in their little tiny state of Kerala, which has about 30 million people, I think. And that's how many people are in India, just that little state, 30 million. So pray for Anastasia, her parents, and the rest of her siblings will be joining us at the camp too. So you'll see us at the camp all sitting together some. And it's such a joy to have them here. And I'm also happy that Hannah can see such a lively church with so many young people. Honestly, we've been in quite a few congregations that are like morgues sometimes. I mean, where are the young people? They're gone! Pandemic is really the disappearance of teenagers from the church worldwide. And it drives me nuts, and I'm mad at a lot of parents because they let their kids slip between their fingers as they slept. And it's not right, and repentance is needed. Amen? Amen. Now, that being said, if you've had that problem, work to fix it. And you can. God can work through you. You can save your kids that wander away. If you messed up before, it doesn't have to be permanent. Amen? God's a God of miracles. He's not quit working. I'm a miracle. You're a miracle. Every new creation is a miracle. And that way outweighs being able to see again with your eyes. Because you're going to lose those eyes when you get old. Back then, in the old days, they got cataracts and they couldn't see after they're 50 before we had modern glasses anyway. So Jesus healed the guy. Big deal. 10 years later, he's got cataracts. I'm not saying that frivolously. But the healing of the spirit man, the inner man, is much more important than the healing of the outer man. Carnal-minded people don't see that. Do we see it? Oh, I wish Jesus was here again so he could do some miracles. I just saw a miracle when Nick got immersed. Amen? Amen. Come on. Let's open our eyes. Hey, this thing's interesting right here. It It's locked. Where's the key? I was going to crawl in it because it reminds me of a big deep freezer. In Africa, you really need deep freezers to keep the meat and stuff, because we usually, Sherry and I would go shopping for a whole month. And we have a butcher, Seth, who brings us meat. We've known him for 20-some years. And we store it in there. And, you know, it's a tropic, so nothing keeps. We don't have a deep freezer this big, though. It's about half of that. But wouldn't that be appropriate, a deep freezer for a sinner? You're putting him in there, and then he comes up alive. So my mind works in amazing ways. I don't know about it sometimes. You don't either. I guess I've got to use this too before I handle the Word of God, because it's holy. Amen? Yeah. There, now I can touch it. Hey, we are the woke people. Hello? Amen. And what was canceled out was the old man of sin. That's what counts. Let's cancel out what really needs to be canceled. Let's keep what we need to keep. I hate the way the world has taken the rainbow and used it for what? Perversity. It's ours. I got a Noah shirt. Went to see the ark with Hannah and others. You know, build their faith in another layer. Sometimes you spend a dime on things that are important for your children. So we went to the ark in Kentucky. And, you know, I'm just stalking Hannah and Anastasia and them. Like, look at that and look at that and look at that. And they're like, they're trying to look at everything I'm pointing at. Because I want them to believe without a shadow of a doubt that Noah was a real man. And it really happened, that flood. No doubts. Lorenzo, great devotion. But don't say my opinion anymore. If it's opinion, don't say it up here. Be sure. We seek a Word of God without opinions. You get me? We know who we are in Christ. We're new creatures. We're not sinner men. We don't have to doubt that one. We know we've been raised up and seated with Christ. And He's not going to put a broken sinner at His right hand in heaven to mess up the decor. What do you think's in heaven? Some broken pottery? And, you know, my wife wanted to bring garbage into her house. We're not garbage. We are able to be seated with Christ. The moment we're immersed, we're raised up and seated with who? The King in the palace. Then bring broken people into the palace. Sin all over them. Endemic sin, systemic sin in them. We are freed from that. We can still sin, but we're not systemic sinners. Nope. Okay, so today, what should I talk about? Power. Transforming power. I was asked to give a title to this, and I was like, this is going to be an eclectic mess, but it's going to have a point to it. And I hope you'll follow me. I'll be a little random here, back and forth. But brethren, I want you to think with me today. I want to think too. It's good to think. You know, I don't know if any of you have seen Terminator back in the day, the original with Schwarzenegger, the good one. The rest are garbage, but the original one, you know. And the thing, only thing from that movie I want you to think about is the devastation they show of, you know, the war between the robots, the computer, the AI, and the remaining heroic freedom fighters in the rubble. And I want you to think about that rubble, you know, the apocalypse. Apocalyptic picture. Some of you probably remember seeing a video of atomic bombs being let off in the 60s. And how that wind sweeps through and the trees all bend over and the buildings all evaporate. Now, I have some opinions myself, but I'm not talking about Scripture, so I'm okay. And one opinion I have is that God is working now through this pandemic, and He's working through things. He's going to tear down to the BLM, the Antifa, the communism's what it is. If you don't know that, come and talk to me. It's communism, end of story. And communism is a revolution, right? 1917. Lenin, Marx. Marx was a thought man, Lenin was a doing guy. He was a practical implementer of communism in Russia, largest landmass country in the world. Great resources there. And so the revolution that they want to do is to tear down and reset everything into a new system that abolishes the freedom of the individual, abolishes our freedoms of speech and travel, to live where we want to live and eat what we want to eat. They want to tell us what to eat, where to live, what to do, how to dress, everything. And they're teaching people conformity through mask mandates and lockdowns. whatever else, Big Pharma is getting rich. But the point is, they're trying to teach the children to comply, comply, comply to government. So it will be our Father who's in D.C., hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom politically come, thy will here on earth be done. And if it's, see, this is what has been working. Satan behind the scenes, 1 Corinthians 5:19, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, 1. He's the real boss. He's the puppet master. He's the one behind the scenes. And God has allowed this pandemic and everything worldwide going on. And I think he has his plan. And one thing I think he wants to do is tear down the church that is the institutional church. I think he's sick and tired of Protestantism. Because it has staked a claim, sola scripture, Bible only, and then broken that promise. That's what Martin Luther said, sola scripture, scripture only. But they've broken. They're the keepers of the flame. Read Romans 9. It was the Jewish people had the oracles of God. They possessed the knowledge of the one true God. And when they lived not according to it, I'm reading Isaiah right now, God got angry. You read Romans. You read what he says to them. They broke the law. They brought disrepute upon God because of their robbing temples, because of their wickedness, because of their unrighteousness. And he brought Babylonians upon southern Judah. Before that, he brought the Syrians on northern Israel. He doesn't put up with it, but so long, and he tears it down. He tears down pretenses to the truth, pretenders to the truth, pretend fake churches. He tears them down. Praise God. I don't want him there, do you? Protestantism came out of Catholicism. It came part of the way. Brother Jay Wilson got it right. Stumbling, climbing, getting to the verge of the cup of the bowl of Babylon, and then halted there, stumbled there. And we have vestiges of Protestantism even among us. And we need to let God tear it down. Tear down our shrines. Tear down our buildings. Tear down our rituals. Tear down what... Look, brother, if I had my way, I'd have you all get up right now and take these chairs and make a big circle. This is not a theater. We're not sitting in a theater here. This is Protestantism. I'm sorry. Sitting in all in pews. No more foyers. No more sanctuaries, as they call them. We're going to have to learn to live underground and be a underground militant church in defiance of authority. We must obey God rather than men, said the apostles, the brave apostles, before being beaten. This is not a call for a physical rebellion. If God allows physical rebellion against the powers to be, let it be. This country was built on a revolution, and it might have to be rebuilt on one. But I have a bigger fish to fry. It's a spiritual revolution. But I do not... My sympathy is with anybody who wants freedom. Freedom! Braveheart! And I'm for them. We need freedom to move from coast to coast, from state to state, like Sherry and I have been doing. We've been in Texas recently. We've been in Washington. We've been in Virginia, in Ohio, Indiana, preaching the Word of God. I praise God to go on roads where there's no police barrier, no one's stopping me at the state line to show the papers. I haven't shown my papers to anybody in authority. We are still living in great freedom. Hallelujah. We better use it, or we'll lose it. And we better prepare for worse days to come. God must punish this country when in 1996, the greatest judges in the land said that a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. Why not your dog? Why not your sister? Why not your daughter? It's not going to end, this perversity. It's only going to grow bigger and worse. No putting that back in the box. No putting that toothpaste back in the tooth, in the whatever. Not going to happen. It's just going to get worse. Public schools are dedicated to teaching your children that they are animals. And they're going to act like animals. And there's no changing that. You can get your kids out of that mess if you're smart. Before they're taught critical racial theory, that their identity is based in the pact, in the group that they happen to have a skin color. How much skin color you need to be righteous? Or you don't need to be unrighteous in this modern teaching of critical racial theory. It's ridiculous. The worth of the individual is being shot down. Satan wants to take over this world. He wants to put his power in worldwide. He's shown what he can do in the last year. Are you getting ready to face the music? Well, I think a lot of people would continue to have a pretense of Christianity like they have in many places. There is a church in China. You can go find one in Beijing. Look it up. Of course, there'll be government officials sitting in there making sure they toe the government line. You can go to find churches in Moscow, official Orthodox churches that the state supports and sponsors. But they're deader than Fred. There's no life in there. You go to Europe, ask Hannah, France. Her dad said only 4% of the French people believe in a God. You talk about secularization. Ask her how easy it is to talk to French people about God and the Bible. They think you're talking lunacy. You've lost your mind. That's what Jeremiah told us at the men's seminar last year. He said it's a very chilling environment to try to work in. America's going that way, and rapidly, not slowly. God's going to tear down the organized ritual church and let him do it. And the real church is going to emerge from the ruins. A church of freedom fighters who love God, who love Romans 8, not just Romans 7. People who are willing to face the music for their faith with joy. To face the lions and sing like they did in the first century. Teenage girls ripped of their dignity, clothes torn off of them, thrown before the lions, a bloodthirsty Roman mob, wanting to see their entertainment, which is on our TVs, to watch it as entertainment, the killing of Christians. It's been documented. And those late girls joining arms and hands and singing praises to their God, knowing in the resurrection they had their hope, knowing that this body that they in, they didn't worry about makeup, they weren't worried about their hairdo, they weren't worried about boys, they were worried about resurrecting with Christ. And they sang songs to God as the lions ate them. And the people walked away with their heads down, never having seen such a thing before. And the gladiatorial games were shut down. To this day, they weren't fun anymore. Hallelujah. We're going to have to prepare ourselves to be those kind of people, brethren, who can live under the radar and be happy doing it. See, the price of great power is great pain. Pain is where we find the power of God. It's in the pain area. Wait, are you a... What are you, Jeff? A narcissist? I mean, not, what's the word? A sadist? No. I like my comfy pillow. I like my iced tea. I like fun time with the grandkids. I love going swimming. I love good times. I'm kind of a party guy, actually, if I get going. Not that I drink... hard drink and get drunk or anything like that. But I like people. I like the rest of you. I like going on vacation. But that's not where I spiritually find anything about me. That's not where my faith is exemplified or shown or manifested. It's in the hard times, the hard things, the things I don't want to do, the things I wish I didn't have to handle, the things I didn't have to put up with. It's the things that are frustrating, aggravating, annoying, the things that are, you know, in the way of my happiness, so to speak. And as I pursue happiness like any good American, I find out it's elusive. The more I pursue it, the more it flees from me. Oh, we're going on vacation now. Woohoo! And then the car breaks down. We get there and they got our favorite campsite. Oh, man. Oh, and then their ice maker just broke. Those are first world problems, by the way. You know, if you have an air conditioner, you're in the 8th percentile of the world's population. We should turn that baby off in this building and turn the heat on right now, and you get a little taste of Ghana. Throw a little bit of garbage through the windows and have about 10 chickens walk back and forth. And, you know, a few other things. We might get close to my normal preaching experience where I'm drenched in sweat by now. And I get done preaching, I'm done. Here it says I feel like a new man, you know. You got air conditioning, carpet. And I learned more there about myself and about God though than here, to be honest. Got malaria 5 times in the last 7 months. Got to go preach anyway. Suck it up, buttercup, and get out there and preach, is what the Spirit says to my mind. You're going to not preach because you got a little fever, a little headache? It's in the pain. It's in the pain that we find the power of God. It's there in the area of the impossibility that we learn what faith really is and who God really is and what He can really do. He's a miracle-working God. He always has been, always will be. Let me ask you a question. When did Noah offer his first sacrifice as a priest to God on the altar? Before or after the flood? What did Abraham have to go through before Isaac was born? Years of no children. And Sarah, that's a terrible thing in that culture, no children. She must have been a bad woman, come on. I mean, God blesses those whom He loves. And she had not one kid, and she's, what, almost 100? There goes Sarah. And then she's in the maternity ward with all the young girls, and she's got a baby. This is pretty funny. No wonder he's called Laughter. When did David become anointed as king and sit on his throne? Before he was in the wilderness for years, from cave to cave, being hunted like a wild animal by Saul with 3,000 commandos? Was it before or after? You know the answer. And when did Jesus get glorified at the right hand of God? Before the cross or after? It doesn't take a brain surgeon, it's a genius, to figure these ones out. These things, they're just hard. Let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Okay? And it says, verse 7, in the days of His flesh, let's just back up to verse 5. So also Christ, Messiah, did not glorify. By the way, Jesus Christ, His last name wasn't Mr. Christ because His dad was Mr. Christ. It's a title. It means anointed one. It's more than a king, more than a prophet, more than a priest. It's all three combined together in a super status, far exceeding any one of those. And so this great super status, Christ, Messiah, Mashiach in the Hebrew, He didn't glorify Himself so as to become a high priest, and not neither king too, we can add. But He who said to Him, "You're My Son, today I've begotten You," just as it says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." The point is, God placed Him in that position. Jesus didn't just jump in there. Listen, if you want to be a great person for God, you've got to let Him make you great. He's called us. See, that's the point. It's what He's doing and will do and has done that counts more than what we can do or what we've done or will do even. Always keep that balance. We got a lot to do for the Lord by faith, but it's His calling. And He's called all of us to be priests. He's called all of us to be kings, princesses, princes, royalty, elite, super people. But let's not leave something out here. That's the part we like to hear about. I do, you do. But here's some more. So it says in the verse 7, in the days of His flesh, brethren, everyone take this hand and slap this like that. Okay? Did you feel that? Everyone, please do it. I'm not asking you that much. Okay? Did it hurt? Hit it harder so it hurts. Ow. You know why it hurt? Because you have flesh. You're in the days of your flesh. But not only. The body's got to be handled. That's the main point today I want to get on to. It has to be handled. It is actually a great blessing to us if we understand properly that the body is the means to eternal glory if we handle it right. We get to trade in this body for a new body of glory, but we better handle this body rightly to have the trade-in. We've got to handle it in a holy way, hey? You're not going to handle a body full of continuing sin and wicked thoughts and practicing sins, living with your girlfriend, hooking up and having a relationship that God hasn't blessed, because I see that happening within people who should know better in the church, and it's not right. Don't like it on Facebook. It's wrong. Call them to repentance. It's wrong. It's always going to be wrong. There's not two standards, one for those out and those in. We're not going to be able to be addicted to drugs and drink and gossip and have prevailing continuing sin and then trade that body in because the grace of God covers everything like some kind of whitewash. We've got to learn to overcome. Now, Paul said, "I buffet my body and I make it my slave," at the very end of 1 Corinthians 9, didn't he? I make it my slave. Let's preach to others. I might not get as many brownie points. No, he didn't say this, that I might not be disqualified. He's a prize he was aiming for. But he had to do something on earth, and that is he had to translate God's power into his body by faith on a daily basis. In Africa, we have transformers everywhere because American appliances use 110 current. But all the African appliances, most of the world uses 220. Which, by the way, if you stick your finger in a socket in Africa, you don't want to do that. It's powerful. Americans went for safety. That's why it's 110. So to use an American appliance in Africa, you've got to have a step-down transformer that takes that power and makes it less powerful to go into that hair. Anybody use hair dryers anymore? That's the 80s thing. Or your electric drill or whatever. Or your TV set. Let me tell you, I know that one. Going to a village hundreds of miles, set up your new video projector, plug it into the wrong power, and you see smoke, and you smell fire. Oops. And then transform that power down. You see, God has all power in heaven and earth. Is His. Resurrection power. Power to create the universe. The nearest star, Alpha Centauri, is 2 light years away. That's going 187 miles per second for 2 years. And you get to the nearest star. No hyperdrive is going to take us out there. No black holes. That's all science fiction. The world's... God has stretched out this universe. As Benoit says, he's a star breather. And there's billions of them. There's as many stars as there is sand on the seashore. And they find more as they have more ability to see them. That God who made that, he's all powerful. He's all powerful. Nothing's impossible for him. It was, you know, just see, think about our forefathers here out west. They did not have protein powder. They didn't have any antibiotics. They didn't have any vitamins. They didn't have any Nutri-this and Nutri-that. They didn't have nothing. They just had grit. And they died every 100 feet on the way out to Oregon. And the forefathers of our faith, Paul, Peter, they didn't have any of that stuff. Samson wasn't made strong because of his training program. His CrossFit program, his super strong program. He didn't have weights. Power, real power, real usable power that gives us the ability to overcome this world, overcome ourselves, win in our marriages, win with our kids, win over this wicked, evil, corrupt society has to come from heaven. Amen? It has to come from heaven or the glory won't go to God, and it must go to God. All glory in heaven and earth belongs to Him. Man cannot steal one iota of it. You want to be a winner, not a sinner? You want to be in it to win it, this whole fight, this adventure, this pilgrimage for God? You're going to have to tap into the power from above on a continual basis and make it usable where you're at. Where you're at. Remember Jesus going along and a lady touches the hem of his garment? What did he say? Mark 6. He felt power go out of him. That's pretty awesome. He could project power long distance. The centurion said, I got a servant who's sick. Just say the word. He went back and found him healed. Jesus didn't have to touch him or nothing. No, he just projected somehow. How did he do it? How did he do that? How did Jesus walk on water? Can you tell me? You know, you see Matrix and he's flying. See Superman flying. That's nothing compared to the power that God has, Jesus had and has, and you can have by faith. Ancient people didn't rely on psychologists, doctors, medicine, all the things that we've become very dependent upon. And I'm not saying don't take vitamins, I take vitamins. Seems smart, but they had to rely on God. Joseph, when he sold as a slave to Egypt, had to rely on God to work that out. We've got to learn to not just be victims of good intentions. The path to hell is paved with many a good intention. We've got to take our good intentions and let God help us take those good intentions in this body, right here, right now. And what you need to do today and tomorrow, do it for the Lord's glory. Whether it's to quit smoking, quit opioids, quit heroin, cocaine. I know people. I don't want to call out too many names because it might be embarrassing to them. I need their permission. But I personally know people who have overcome all kinds of hard drugs and don't even long for them anymore. I know people who drank and drank and who quit and don't even long for it anymore. I know men that were prolific womanizers who no longer are, and they are willing to make their wife their own only special vessel. God can do anything. That's what Jesus said. All things are possible with Him. Don't you let the words come in your mouth. I can't do that. I don't know about it. I'm not. Don't do it. If it's God's will, it will be done according to your faith. You know, I tell you what, we can overreact. I know there's people out there saying health, wealth, and success. Come for your miracle at the Miracle Healing Crusade today. A lot of them are in Africa. And it's all about the physical healing, isn't it? It's all about physical financial prosperity, isn't it? And yet, in our overreaction to them, do you really think God can't bless your finances? You really think He's... No, He doesn't do that kind of thing anymore. Well, what if He wants you to have the money to do something for His glory? How about we build an ark like the one in Kentucky here, and we preach the gospel at it? How about we start a new creation museum and teach them? I went to it years ago, and the first thing you do is you sit down for a movie, and it basically tells you how to invite Jesus into your heart, which isn't in the Bible. My wife went about ballistic, not really, but we get to the ark. It's wonderful. It's awesome. Very end of it, there's a big door, and all they had to put there is 1 Peter 3:21. As baptism now saves you, washing not of water from the flesh, but by the appeal of a good conscience toward God. No, they couldn't have put that on there. Drop the ball at the very end. Thousands and thousands of people spending good money to go in there to know that there is a Creator God. At the very end of it, swerve. We saw the Esther pageant, Sight and Sound in Pennsylvania. Tremendous biblical play. 2,500 people. Amish, Jamaicans, all kinds of people, New York, everyone in there. Very end of it, all they had to have is one person come and say, if any of you want to become a Christian, and quote Acts 2:38, swerve. How about us? Will we have a Sight and Sound where we can have 1,000, 5,000 people a day going to that thing? 5,000 a day, spending 40, 50, whatever dollars each. I've told our girls, Hannah, Anastasia, look at that Esther. They say the Bible is misogynist. And here Esther has a king wrapped around her little finger. She saves the entire Jewish nation and us with them. As a woman, fulfilling her godly role as a feminine person, a woman. She's smarter than the rest of them, along with her great cousin. And I told them, what's your dreams? New creation movies. We're a movie culture now, more than books. I don't know if that's good at all, but it's a fact. How about we were making movies and promoting all the truth? Are we dreaming big dreams? Or relegating God to a personal psychiatrist to help us with our feelings, to feel better about ourselves? And even on that one, we'll probably go see a real psychiatrist and get some drugs if we need them. I'm talking generally about Americans, not you specifically. But there's a lot of people who need a daily pill to be happy, a daily pill to function, a daily shot or something. Was that how the early first century saints handled things as they went to the lions? Oh, I need my antidepressant pill first. Okay, now I can go and handle it. I don't believe it. How about Africans who can't go to psychiatrists, can't buy all that stuff? Are they supposed to just give up? Our God can empower us now in this body that we now have, as He did Jesus, to carry the cross beam on His back after being scourged. So that, like Paul, who could be scourged or be stoned into a pile of stones and pull himself out of those stones and walk back in and preach all over again. And Timothy going, wow, I want to be one of His disciples. Our same God still rules today. And as the world gets darker, we need to, this is what Benoit says on this one, time to shine, brethren, time to be better and better and better and praise God more and more and more. You can't watch Fox News and have that mindset. You can't, look, what did Paul or Jesus talk about? Afghanistan, the stolen election, the health pandemic, crisis, pandemonium. Here's all, you know, just a side note, 1918, Spanish flu, 30 million people, 50 million people dying worldwide. That's when population was much lower. When Americans fought World War I and won it, in the middle of it. They were not a safe space seeking millennials, were they? See, we can't focus on the programming of the world to get our mindset on things below. This world's always been a mess, is my point. There was a Spanish flu pandemic. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with cheer. When was that written? Who knows? World War II. And in North Carolina, where I just came from, U-boats, 1940, 1941, were sinking tons, megatons of United States shipping off the coast of North Carolina. Those ships are still there. That's when that song was written. There's always been bad times. Some of you don't remember the riots of the 70s and the 60s, the race riots in Los Angeles and Chicago. Do you know in 1919, communists walked in Boston down the street saying, kill the pigs? And the police came out with submachine guns and shot them. Blood filled the streets of Boston. That's our history of this country. George Washington had to call out the troops against sedition. And I'm not making any application here that you don't think I should make. I'm not. I'm just saying times have never been good on earth. It's under Satan's domain. It's a dark place. And the true saints of Christ, the real deal, the true church, the one that you can take a drill and drill all the way through it, and there's nothing but clear wood, good hard wood, have always had to set their mind on things above where Christ is. Have always had to learn how to transform His power into their life, to learn how to buffet their body successfully, to do what Jesus did here. What's it say there in the Hebrews chapter 5? I've lost one of my lenses, okay. One eye's better than none. In the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. Have you done that? Same Hebrew writer says that we've not yet resisted the point of shedding our blood in our fight against sin. It's a pain. It's at the pain that we learn about God and His faith. It's in doing, going the second mile. The second mile is a hard one because you're tired. It's getting on a plane for a teenager at 6 in the morning. Getting out of bed at 4 in the morning, right, Hannah? Right, Anastasia? That's not fun. Getting up out of the bed. It's little things and big things. It's giving up income so we can do something for the Lord's work and just say no to that new whatever it is. It's small things often. It's going to our neighbor with some cookies. The same neighbor whose dog keeps pooping on our yard. And we've been tempted to hit 911 more than once. But instead, we go the opposite way and we go over the cookies and we say, hey, I'm your neighbor. Don't even talk about the dog. We talk about Jesus. And we invite them to our house for supper or for the picnic tonight. We go. It's counterintuitive to be a Christian. It's against the flow, brethren. It's doing things our flesh doesn't want to do. It's doing the extra hour up in the morning like my dear loyal wife who reads through the Bible every year. She's done it for so many years. And you want to find her in the morning? You'll find her with a Bible on her lap. 9 out of 10 times. Now, I know there's been mornings where the day before she had malaria or we traveled miles and miles by plane, train, and automobile and everything else. There she is this morning with her Bible on her lap. Did she feel like getting up then to do that? It's not sleeping in so you can go run and buffet this body that's gained 30 pounds you don't need. And you know that if you get the COVID and you're overweight, you've got problems. So lose that weight. For Christ's sake. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's where the rubber meets the road a lot of times. Putting a knife at our throat, not eating that extra cookie. Oh, it's painful. It's calling me. It's got my name on it. Well, maybe, you know, I like cookies too. Be satisfied with one. Don't eat the whole box. Look, I'm a foodie guy somewhat, so I can preach about this one. I've never been tempted by cigarettes and drink, but boy, food, I could be. My grandpa was about 300 pounds when he died. It's just buffeting this body. It's doing the second mile. It's not giving up when you feel like giving up. It's going against the flow. Your wife has just irritated you. Hey, husbands, don't be embittered by your wives. Colossians says that. They can be a pain in the butt sometimes. Sorry. Well, so can we guys. And instead of doing the natural thing, yelling at them or getting mad or getting revenge, we go the other way. And we say, you know, I love you anyway. And it's been a tough day. And holding their hand and praying with them. I need to work on that. Does anybody else here need to work on it day by day? Having the great attitude all the time? Not satisfying ourselves. I want to watch this movie. I want to go to this place. I. That's the problem. You've got to cross it out. Not about me. It's about Him. And if we did more of that, that power of heaven would be seen in our bodies on earth. And we would see it too in our lives more and more. And then now we're walking as Jesus walked. I do fear, brethren, I'll be honest, I fear theoretical Christianity. I hate ritual Christianity and institutional Christianity. But I think sometimes we have a difficulty with theoretical Christianity. We've got all the right doctrines on paper. And we can even spout them out of our mouth. But when it comes to actually saying no to that next cigarette, or no to that next drink of beer, or no to that woman's alluring eyes, or that pornography, or to that garbage entertainment that's out there, not doing the right thing there. And then that theory hasn't translated into anything good. It says here in Hebrews 5 that he learned something. Let me look. Use my one good eye here. What did it say? Verse 8. Though he was a son, he learned. Now this word is probably the most despised word in the modern dictionary. Obedience. Obey. All people, when they hear the word, think of Nazi Germany. Or overbearing parent who like that. Obey. You tell a wife you need to obey me. Let's find out what happens. Your boss tells you need to obey me. I'm your boss. See what how you feel. You might do it because you don't want to lose a job. Or you say, I'll just get more COVID money. I'm gone. The government will give me some more free money. Right. Enough said about that. But see, obedience training is for dogs, not people. No. Remember when Jesus got lost? They lost the Messiah in Jerusalem. Can you imagine being, you know, we've lost the Messiah. Hello, Mary, says Joseph. What happened to our son? She says, you're the dad. So both parents went looking frantically for him. I mean, you couldn't be given a more precious gift. They finally find him in the temple. And Luke chapter 2 says after that, from then on, he was what? In submission to his parents. He obeyed them. Now, at some point, I'm thinking Jesus was ahead of his dad, Joseph. Not his biological dad. But you think if his dad told him to go carry some more water for mom, he'd say, I'm the Son of God. I'm going to die for you one day on a cross, so I don't need to be carrying water right now. You think he ever had that elite attitude? No, of course. What did Jesus do right before he was crucified? He washed the feet of his disciples. He got a towel out and he washed all their feet, their stinky feet. They really were stinky feet. Go to the other parts of the world, dusty, dirty. You get stinky feet, especially with sandals on. That's what Jesus was doing, cleaning feet before he died. That's very physical. That's with his body. We cannot separate, like some kind of Gnostic, the body from the spirit. The two go. We learn to be like Christ by in the flesh, in the body now, suffering. And he who suffered in the flesh will cease from sin, according to 1 Peter 4:1. Suffering's your friend. It's obedience training for your soul. And when you pass through your apprenticeship of suffering, you get a crown of glory. And by the way, that apprenticeship is your short, tiny, little, brief lifetime here on earth. It's about a breath. It's like the grass, gone. But all the time we're still in the days of our flesh was until they bury us or put us in a casket or something. We must suffer. We must be crucified with Christ. So Paul said. And that's not one time only at your very pleasant baptism in water. It's when you die to self. Again, again, and again. And say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. It's on small things and the bigger things. And you make that a way of living. And you're going to have to do it up until your death. It's not an event and it's over. It's a way of living. Dying to self. Carrying a cross daily, said Jesus. There's no magic here in the sense. Our Christianity is a deliberate choice to put on Christ every day. Romans 7 is about a daily decision to make sure that we are not that person. But I'm going to tell all of you, you don't make that choice, you can have a very bad day indeed. Because there's a lot of instruction to Christians to not do this and not do that and not do that, whatever. Because they could do it. Our will is not superseded and taken away from us in Christ. It's strengthened in the inner man to do the right thing. There's a big difference. No automatic remote control of our body by heaven and God and the Holy Spirit. It's a cooperative effort where you make the decision that it's not my will like Jesus had to, but His will, with some tears and crying maybe. There's a lot of things I don't like. I don't like malaria. Not at all. I'm getting my training program. Me and Atta and Isaac, we're training. I'm going to bench 300 again at 61. Not going to happen, but it's still in my head. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have this physical goal. And then you get malaria and you're in bed for 3 days and all your goals are gone because it takes 2 weeks to recover. I don't like it. I don't want to get COVID. Traveling around and social distancing and airports and planes don't go together, let me tell you. You will pick up your bags at the gate. There's 10 people at the gate all waiting to get their bags as they're delaying. Now there's 12 people. And then other people are going right through the middle of you because they want to get out. I mean, it's worse than being in a bar, which I don't go to. Everyone's all crowded in there. One cough, I guess they say now, the Delta variant's so contagious, in 1 second you can get, Schaefer's have COVID. Oh, no. We'll just stay in Roper, North Carolina, out in the woods. We can't make it to family camp this year. Or we're remote. We'll Zoom for family camp. And this morning, I could have gone back there and Zoomed something up on the screen for you. Where's Jeff? Oh, he's back there. He's hiding in the room. He doesn't want to get COVID. I'm just kind of being facetious here. But you know what, brethren? Every single day, the flesh cries, come back up here. Come to me. Be like everyone else. Walk in the flesh. Think carnal thoughts. You can still do it. Everyone else does, and the grace of God will cover it all up in the end. And that's why Paul said, should we continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be! Romans chapter 6, right? Verse 3. May it never be. Or verse 2. Don't let that thinking take hold. We have got to overcome. We've got to buffet the body. We've got to make our body our slave. We've got to be able to push through that second mile. We've got to be able to say, no, no, no. I'm imitating Benoit here. Am I doing okay? Too much hair. But anyway, he's going to see this and get me. His daughter will tell. But you know, brethren, I'm not trying to be dramatic here, to be dramatic. I'm trying to wake us all up because Christians have been sleeping in the light too much. Get prepared. There's not a joke here. Communism has been the biggest landmass of the world. It's been under it since 1917. Putin's a communist, KGB operative. China, they rolled people under tanks at Tiananmen Square not too long ago who were trying to stand up for a little freedom. Students were rolled under the tanks. Thousands, they don't know how many. Would you stand in front of a tank for Jesus? Would you fight in the American Revolution for good reason's sake? Why should we have it easy? Why should we cruise? This is not some jungle cruise with rock. Why would we have it easy to get to heaven when the first century saints didn't and everywhere in between? Why should we have a, you know, bed of roses? gliding and surfing and going our way into heaven like the Silver Surfer. No. We're going to have to put on full armor. You're going to take up our cross daily and die to self minute by minute. And there will be some pain involved because Jesus had pain. Why shouldn't we? But He'll give us more grace. And where the pain is increasing, the comfort will be more. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, we despaired even of life. But to see, the God of all comfort came in. And through the prayers of many, even though he was sure he's going to die, maybe in Ephesus at that stadium, possibly, where they're all saying, Artemis, Artemis. But whatever time it was, he said, I fight. He said, I fought lions. I'm here to stand and tell you, if you'll just hang in another minute, walk another mile, stand your ground another month for what's right, for your marriage. I have some couples right now that are talking to me privately, and they're giving up on their marriages. It grieves my heart. They got kids. And that doesn't go away at all. It's a lie from the devil. One brother told me that divorce is worse than death. If you've been divorced, God bless you. If you've repented and made things right, I'm not saying it's an unforgivable sin, but it's a terrible thing when you, and we should not see it in our society like we do at all. It hurts the kids. It hurts the kids. Do the statistics. More suicide, more dropout from school, more addictions, more premarital problems when their parents are divorced. There's nothing good comes from it at all. And yet it's rampant in our culture. You know all those people out there in the streets using bad language and screaming and hollering for social justice? Many of them have no dad. And they're bitter. They have daddy issues. No dad to tuck them in. No dad to give them a piggyback ride. No dad to tell them how invaluable they are, how beautiful they are as girls. And God intended the father to be there for the kids. And our society is so messed up now, people don't get married anymore because they've given up on marriage completely. But God is a miracle-working God. He can save your marriage. He can save your family. Like Noah's, if you have faith. And all the good teaching up here, and all the good truth in here, and all the great people around you can't save you from yourself. You must save yourself. Save yourselves from this wicked and perverse generation. You have to make the decision within you not give up, to let God do His miracles in your soul, to help continue to sustain you, perfect you, and bring you to glory. No one can do it for you. And it's going to be a long and hard trip there, but He will be with you every step of the way as you walk as Jesus walked. He will strengthen your inner man. He will give you forgiveness. He'll give you more grace. He'll give you more power from above. People say miracle, age of miracles is gone. I had to take real issue with that. But they're a little bit different than the first century, but they're better. Strengthening our will in the inner man. Read Ephesians chapter 3, the last verses. You'll see that. Well, I'm out of time, way out of time. I'm out of a lens on my here. And I couldn't crawl in there, so it wasn't a perfect morning. But I'm very thankful to be able to share with you today. I love each one of you with all my heart. And I have a confession to make before I go. I have a thorn in my flesh. It's called name phobia. And I travel so much and all, and I walk into place, and I know a lot of you have had conversations on campfires. Some of you on Facebook, we've been friends for years. I've seen you here, there, and everywhere, and then I go blank. So if I forget your name, please forgive me. But I love you. The name's there. As soon as I walk out the door, it's like, oh man, I know Lorenzo's name. But you know, Lorenzo, I looked your name up in the bulletin, for suddenly I went blank. And I know you. But we'll know each other in heaven. We won't need name tags in heaven. Let's make it there. Let's persevere, brethren. Let's bring all those, leave no man behind. Let's get everyone that we can with us, and let's do it. Because God is still on His throne, and He's coming back again, and the winner is Jesus. And those who fight for and with Jesus will and do and always win. Trust me, the Bible says so. Let's be winners, not sinners. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand before God, play no games. I don't want to do a long emotional appeal here. But I know many a fool who waited too long and they couldn't repent because they got too hardened. They went too far and God let him go. He's not going to force us to marry him. He's not a kind of Neanderthal type of caveman, bop us on the head and take us to heaven. It's got to be from us. We've got to want it. Don't run from God. If you're a young person here and you're of age, what age is that? You need to know that. But if you're old enough to make adult type decisions, you're in sin. And if you die today, you go to hell. Whoever you are sitting there, make sure you're standing right with God. If you need to confess something, make something right, do it. This is not something where just God's grace is kind of covers automatically. We've got to be proactive. You can come forward today if you're not immersed, and I think they'll open that up for you. And I believe there's plenty of water in there. And the Bible says you'll be buried with him in baptism, Romans chapter 6:4, and be raised up to walk in newness of life. My life's not easy, but I love it. Because it's an abundant life, and I have grace and mercy, and I have purpose, and Jesus lives in me, forgiving me and strengthening me and molding me in his image. That's what all of you should want. If you're here today, I'm sure lots of brethren here would love to talk to anybody who's ready. Make Jesus your Lord. Confess him as Lord. Be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of all of your dirty, rotten, filthy, horrible sins, worse than you even imagine. And he will forgive you completely and give you the gift of himself, his own spirit within your body, just like you saw in the video. Don't delay that. Don't delay that. Because a new life is a real life, and it starts in the water of baptism.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, bro. Let's stand. Today's the day. Today's the day we can renew the mind, set our mind on things above, strengthen our relationships, lead our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, to grow into unity with those who share in a like precious faith. Today is the day. Let's set our mind to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much. Thank you for the abundant grace that you have extended to us. Lord, we have Jesus Christ to thank for that. As we understand that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can draw on your mercy, on your patience, on your power, and that you have not gone through this great plan to create a people who can worship you in spirit and truth, who can glorify your name on this earth so that we can just turn back to our wicked ways and to crawl back into the darkness. Lord, the scriptures say not only do we walk in light, Ephesians says we are the light. Lord, it's because we abide in you. You are light, and by the extension of your righteousness, we are light. So thankful for the reminder this morning to shine our light, and that we would be stimulated through repentance to make the changes that we need to make today, if there are any, and that we would consider how to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, that we would be motivated to strengthen the brethren and to stimulate one another to love and good deeds and to repent of our own wicked ways and to carry out the purpose for which we were created, a great and mighty resurrected spiritual army that can not only produce the fruit of the kingdom that we have been given, but actually glorify your name. Lord, Israel could not do that, but the church can. Thank you so much for those reminders. Let's do it today. Let's walk out of here bold and confident to face the world and to be willing to endure. If indeed we need to endure, what great reminders this morning that the bad times have always come, but we can be those whose hearts are filled with cheer. Thank you so much for these reminders, for Jesus Christ and for him who dwells in us. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.